So I want to talk to you this morning about something that I believe is important for now, but also important as we move forward as believers. And so I want to start by just telling you a quick story. This is a story about my granddaughter. And Lucille is, you know, she constantly brings smiles to our faces. But one day, Becky sent us a video of Lucille, and Lucille's running around. She's always bopping around, always on the move. And Becky says, "Would you like a hug?" And Lucille says, "No, I need a break. No, I need a break." And you know, I've watched parents, and I've been a parent too, where the 2 year olds, you know, say no, and are and the parents struggle not to smile, not to laugh, you know, like because they're so cute at 2 years old. But you know, when they become teenagers, after a while, they grow up and they become teenagers, and then they become defiant and use the word no. It loses some of its cuteness, you know. And those of you that have raised teenagers know that word often comes out of a teenager's mouth as well. So I want to talk this morning about two biblical marks of maturity, and there are two marks that indicate that we are actually maturing in our lives. And the one is the propensity to say yes. And we're going to talk about that. And the title of my message this morning is simply YES, yes. And I want to emphasize that as we mature, yes becomes a very, it becomes a word that we use more often than not, the word yes. And the second indicator of maturity is gratitude. The propensity for being grateful. And I'm going to tell you a story in a little while. And you know, gratitude is an interesting thing because you can find a grateful heart even in difficult circumstances. So how many have ever found themselves in a difficult circumstance? I think that would pretty much cover everybody I'm looking at and everyone I'm not looking at, okay? So I want to read Colossians chapter 2. So I've got to reach over here and grab a Bible. Here we go. Sorry, Heather. So I'm going to turn to Colossians chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. And I want to read from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So you have, Paul is writing here, the Apostle Paul says, "You have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now keep on following him. Plant your roots in Christ and let him be the foundation for your life. Be strong in your faith, just as you were taught, and be grateful." So this is what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you, first of all, about how the Christian life is characterized by walking. Walking is a very interesting thing. When I walked the Camino, I came up with this phrase. I had a couple of unique phrases. A lot of them I borrowed from other people, but this one was unique to me, and it was that to describe the Camino, it was beauty at a pace I could absorb. Beauty at a pace of me. And there's a pace with which we can absorb the things around us. And life, as you know, gets crazy, crazy busy. And I want to just say, too, that when this is all over, we're going to specially honor the mothers. Okay, it's not Mother's Day. I think next week is Mother's Day. But I wanted to honor the mothers and just say, you know, you have said a big yes to the Lord. By what you're doing, by mothering, by caring, by the nurturing you're doing, you have said an incredible yes to the Lord, and he appreciates it. It does not go unnoticed. Mothers, you know, sometimes when I'm at home and I'm quiet and I'm enjoying this peaceful time and there's just something really beautiful percolating, I get a call or a text or something. I got a text from a single mom, and it puts things in perspective. Not everybody's situation is equal. It says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him." So receiving him is our first yes. And this is incredibly beautiful. And I really believe that there are those of us here today who are going to say and express a fresh yes to the Lord. And this is going to have ramifications beyond any nice message that you might hear today, beyond any nice preparation that went into this message, beyond all of that. It's your yes that is going to count. It's going to be an incredible movement forward in your life, saying yes to the Lord. again. But the first yes is when we received him. I can't keep up with all the beautiful things that have come across my life lately. I have, and I'm going to tell you some of them, but people pass things along to me, Corey has been an incredible brother during this time, and I have been incredibly stirred and encouraged by his life on many this clip, and I'll send it on to you. And it's by a rapper that I'd never heard of before. He's called DMX. His real name is Earl Simmons, or DMX. And I'll send this clip out, so you don't have to look it up. But if you do any research on DMX, on his life, it is horrific. I mean, I don't even want to, because we have families online, I don't even want to go into his childhood or some of the things in his life. But this is just recently, he held an online Bible study, okay? And this is what I'm going to send to you. It's so precious. He had hundreds and hundreds of Twitter followers who joined him. He just to give you a brief example, he just got out of prison last year. And when he got out of prison, he was invited to Kanye West's outdoor church service. He was invited to one of these outdoor church services, and he was invited to pray. Now, when Corey first mentioned DMX to me several months ago, he told me the story about what happened to him. And he said he played the rapper, so he raps these prayers, and they're absolutely incredible. But in this talk that you're gonna receive, he says this. He says people are always wanting me to do these prayers. You know, right now you want me to do these prayers, but I'm not going to do them. He said, because you need to pray. That's what he said. He said, you need to pray. And this is a real emphasis at this time, because the first yes, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, walk in him. You've received him as Lord, now walk in him. Walking is a beautiful, I mean, it's a forward movement. It's you're walking, you're progressing in your life. Those of you that saw Pilgrim's Progress, you saw some of what walking entails, some of the dangers. You know, I often say, you know, even about marriage or about any life situation, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. You know, 'twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will bring us home. And so this walk, is a walk that takes us through many places and through many paths. One place it takes us is into dark places. It takes us into shadowy places where things press against us, and life is not full of incredible feelings and goosebumps, but we actually find ourselves in very difficult circumstances. When I was on the Camino, I discovered something that is ancient, and it's called the Hollow Way. And some of you have heard me talk about this. A Hollow Way is an ancient path that people have walked for so long that it's actually gone under the ground. So many feet have trodden this path that it goes down below the ground. And one day I was walking, and I came upon a Hollow Way, and I had the option. A new path had been made above the ground that I could choose to take that path, or I could go down into the Hollow Way. And I decided at that moment that I would go down into the Hollow Way, because I was discovering in this walk with God that he is with us in the darker moments, the more shadowy times, where we don't have the feelings that we like to have. And he is equally with us during those times as he is on the mountaintop. So you talk about the valleys and the mountaintops. Well, so we get to walk with God, and that's been the privilege of my life. I'm going to talk about walking and walking with people, because I've also been very privileged to walk with many of you and with many people throughout my life. But walking with the Lord is the greatest of all privileges, to walk with him through every hollow way and all the way up to every mountaintop, because there are mountaintops as well. So this DMX says you need to pray. In verse 7, Paul describes four words, four ways in which Paul describes this walk that we have in Christ. This is how he describes it. First, there are three, and I'm not really good. Scott could explain this really, really well, but because grammar, I got to tell you this. I wasn't planning on telling you this, but I graduated from Bible college, okay? And one of the courses that I had to take was a grammar course. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this sliding scale or something. I don't know how it works. I don't know how the teacher sleeps at night, because I graduated and I passed the grammar course, okay? But anyway, enough of that. The first three words that we're going to look at are in the passive tense, okay? They indicate that the Colossians are being acted upon. This is really important. The first three are in the passive tense. It means that it's the Colossians and Christians are being acted upon. Now, what that means is this. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says, and I love this verse, it says, by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Excuse me just for a moment if I have to, you know, tell you something you might not know, is that you had very little to do with this whole thing. You had very little to do with your coming to Christ, your coming to faith. You had very little to do with it, okay? Now, having said that, this is what the scripture says. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. So the first three are really acted upon us. They're you know, I even like the term irresistible. You know, there's an irresistibleness to God's pursuit of your life. He is a pursuer and he is a lover beyond all lovers. And he pursues us passionately. Every single one of you, I love your faces. He is a pursuer of your life. And but the fourth one that we're going to look at, and again, we're going through this rapid speed, is called, it's in the active tense. And that means it indicates what the Colossians are to do themselves. The final one is in the active tense, indicating what the Colossians are to do for themselves. So here we go, real fast. Colossians 2:7, having been rooted, firmly rooted. This form is in the past tense. It indicates something that has happened, but it has consequences now. It's absolutely beautiful when you think of it, because you think of being rooted, something that takes place that has consequences later. And anybody who's rooted anything, you know, anybody that not rooted, but you planted something, you know that there are going to be later consequences, ongoing consequences to that rootedness. Okay. Now, there are what you call fast-growing trees or poplar trees. We had several trees that were fast-growing poplar trees that went 40, 50, I think even 60, but I'm not sure, feet in the air. And I remember we'd see these things and they would sway and I learned that they were not deeply rooted. And so this is how I learned, first of all. The first one came down and my neighbor, his hydro line runs alongside my property. So my tree took out his hydro line. I mean, my poplar tree came down and took out his hydro line. And that's when I learned that the other three or four trees that were there were not deeply rooted, and eventually they too were going to come down. And so we became proactive with those trees. But the Bible talks about oak trees, and oak trees are very interesting because they most important part of the oak tree is below the root system, okay? The root system of an oak tree, which gives it stability and an ability to withstand, you know? And so the root system is really important. Anyway, he became the director of the China Inland Mission, which was founded by Hudson Taylor. And there's just such an interesting story about how missionaries back in the 1950s. But by 1953, every missionary needed to leave China. It broke their heart to leave China. They left China. They had sown and planted and ministered there in unique ways, but they had to leave. And for a long time, there were, you know, China was shut completely up. It was like North Korea, even worse. So there was no news that came out of China. Nobody knew how the believers were doing. And it was only after literally decades that things began to surface. And they saw that what was planted in China, small churches, little churches that were planted in China, were now emerging as large gatherings, large groupings of people all throughout the land of China. So the root system, you know, eventually manifested into something incredibly beautiful. And so he spoke to us, a group of pastors, about the hidden life in Christ, that there is a life in Christ that no one else sees. There is a secret life in him that nobody else witnesses. It's your life with Christ. It's your life. It's your nourishment. It's your root system where you are nourished by him, where his word becomes life to you and nourishes through you. You know, and then visibility comes. Let me tell you a quick story. I'm growing wheatgrass, okay? So I'm a juicer, like of wheatgrass. And I just love growing it because it's beautiful to watch it grow. But when you cover the seeds up, you have to cover them for several days. And the lid of the wheatgrass begins to lift. You know, it's really kind of cool, you know? What is hidden, what is buried beneath the soil, those roots that are taking root begin to manifest on the top of the soil and it begins to rise. And that's how it is with our lives. The Bible says that out of the abundance of this life, this inner life, comes the fruit, comes the things that come out of our mouths, you know, and the things that come out of our lives, out of this deep root system. Okay, number two. So being built in him is number two, being built in him. So rooted in him and then built in him. I like this word. It's a foundational word. Architectural word. I love it, to build. And the Bible says that we are his masterpiece. He's working in our lives. He is at work. I look at your faces. I look at your lives. I know and I am confident that he is at work. Philippians 1:6 says that he who began continues. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the completer. He's going to see this thing all the way to its completion. Can you still hear me, Graham? Okay, good. We're getting there. When Barnabas came to Antioch, was it Antioch? I think it was. I have Macedonia in my notes, but I think it was Antioch. Barnabas, it says he saw the grace of God. It was visible. It was like the fingerprints of God were over the people of God in Antioch. It's. I love that scripture because it says that Barnabas rejoiced. And I like that too, because he had nothing to do with the progress of these believers. He did not have the privilege of inputting into their lives. And yet it says that he rejoiced in the grace of God. He saw. It was visible. And what is hidden will be made manifest. What is hidden in our lives will be made manifest. That which he builds in our lives will be put on display. He's got a building like in individuals, but he also has a greater building in his beautiful bride, the church. Okay, finally, next is, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. Your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. You know, faith doesn't grow under every circumstance. It doesn't grow. I listened to a program years ago, and it so fed doubt and unbelief. It was like these guys were scholars who were atheists. I mean, you know, like they were just not believers, but they waxed eloquent using Bible scripture and all this. And I listened to this and it was like I was deflated. You know, it didn't do anything for me. But right after that, I heard about Project Pearl. I'd never heard before about Project Pearl. And I tell you, you got to look it up. But when I heard about Project Pearl, something came alive in me, because there were a group of people who smuggled 1 million Bibles into China. They were greeted in the evening by on the shores on the China Sea. They were greeted by these smugglers, these Bible smugglers, with 1 million Bibles. And the Chinese, who are not characteristically a huggy, touchy people, you know, embraced them. They embraced them. They were so strengthened and encouraged by this 1 million Bibles. It's like reading it's an incredible, it makes for a great action-packed story, because they almost got caught. And yet, how do you bring a million Bibles into China? Anyway, my faith was strengthened through that. So, strengthened is a great word. I'm done with that. The second thing is, what did Paul do to strengthen the believers? This is what Paul did to strengthen the believers. It says in Thessalonians, it says he sent Timothy. Now, I really love this, eh? In order to strengthen the believers, he sent Timothy. Timothy was a young man, but he was very mature. He was a man who had a yes on his lips for God. In fact, Paul gave him such a high commendation. He said, I don't have anyone else I can send like Timothy. I don't have anyone else like Timothy, because others look out for their own interests first, but Timothy looks out for the interests of Christ. I love that. That impacts my life. Timothy was a man with a yes on his lips, and Paul sent Timothy in order to strengthen. And I have walked with people. I walked with someone recently. And when I got back from the walk, I felt strengthened. I just, you know, I felt like my faith was strengthened. I felt more, you know, and that's the, you know, that's the, that's what happens when we strengthen ourselves in faith and we walk with people who are of faith and who are going to encourage us and, you know, pour into us. And the final thing, I'm at the last one, is to overflow with gratitude. Now, this is the part that comes out from us. We are actively involved and need to be involved in this. Overflowing with thanksgiving is the result, the final result Paul mentions here, that marks the life of those that are walking in Christ. It's actually one of the greatest marks of maturity. One man said that when we come to the end of our lives, thank you should come off our lips so beautifully. And so this is the only present active participle in the list, indicating that it's something believers do in response to God's actions. Now, it becomes overflowing, stresses a continual action. I like that, continual action. It's not some, you know, we are forgetful. You know, we move into grumbling and complaining or judging or all these things, but thanksgiving is to be an overpowering. And it, you know, I listened to a song this morning and she said these words. She said, it's like praise. What is it about my seams? Anyway, what does that say? Well, about praise and my, you know, that when it's, oh yeah, bursting at the seams. That's it. So she's talking and it's one of my favorite songs. It's called, what's it called? I got to call on Valerie. What's it called? Surround. Yeah. Yeah, Jamie sent it. It's about surrounded. How's it go? Yeah. I want to get into that, but I'm not going to go there. But bursting at the seams with gratitude, with thanksgiving. I'm surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded. That's what it says. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is beautiful. The chorus is, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I'm pointing to you, everyone on the screen and those that are hidden on the other screen. And I'm saying to you, no matter what your circumstance is right now, it may look like you're surrounded, but you're surrounded by him. I want you to know, it may look like you're surrounded by your circumstances, but you're surrounded by him. And I looked up Elisha because I love the story of Elisha, and Elisha's servant comes to him and says, he wakes up in the morning, he sees all the armies, the enemy armies surrounding them, and he comes to him and he says, oh sir, what will we do now? The man cried out to Elisha, what are we going to do now? And Elisha said this, Lord, would you open your servant's eyes? Would you open his eyes? And when his eyes were opened, he saw that those that were for them were more than those that were against him. I may be surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Okay, here, I mentioned a quick story. There's a Bible commentator called Matthew Henry. Some of you have seen, he's got all these thick volumes of commentaries on the Bible. Well, one day, Matthew Henry, this is back, I didn't look up when he was last century or something or later, I don't know when he was. Look it up. Matthew Henry was robbed. He'd never been robbed before. Anybody ever been robbed? It's not a pleasant feel. We were robbed, but we weren't present when we were robbed. That wasn't fun. But he was robbed. Oh, I've got to tell you my story. Sorry, I'm at the end. I was robbed. We got married and we had all these wedding gifts. We never even had time to open. I don't know if we opened all of them. Am I still on, Graham? You lost me? No? Okay. But we certainly never had time to enjoy them. Like, let me put it that way. And we were robbed. We were away. Our house was broken into. We were robbed. But this is the story. We were planning our first trip to Guatemala. And my dad had given me an envelope with American money. It wasn't a lot of money, but it represented this trip to Guatemala. And that was where our hearts were, our focus, our lives, everything was on this trip coming up to Guatemala, this missions trip. And when we were broken into, I went upstairs. And you know, the first place I went to was our drawer, our underwear drawer. I probably can't say this online, but it was socks and underwear, okay? And I opened the drawer. Actually, I didn't open the drawer. The drawer was open. They had been through this drawer. They had been through our house, but they had been through this drawer. And the very first thing I saw when I looked was the envelope. It had come to the surface. It was not hidden underneath the socks and underwear. It was on the surface and it was not taken. You got to believe that I was a grateful man. I was a thankful man. And so I'm not even telling you about this commentator. He was robbed, but maybe I'll tell you a couple of things. There's four of them, but he was... they took his money. He said, I'm glad I didn't have too much. That's what he said. and he says, I'm thankful that it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. You know, there's something to be thankful for. He didn't do the robbing. And one more. Let's see. He was grateful that he'd never been robbed before. This was the first time. So there's something that, you know, we can be grateful for. So here we go. This is my conclusion. Yeah, when Paul wrote the letter to Colossians, he wrote from a Roman prison. Now, this is important because he wrote from a Roman, and he was thankful because God used his imprisonment for the advancement of the gospel. Now, I want to tell you two things that are happening through COVID-19 right now. Two things that are happening. One is, and there are many, many more things, and depending on what news you're watching and where you're getting your nourishment, you're gonna have a whole lot more to add to this list. But I'm going to give you two that are happening. One is courage. There is a courage rising in the people of God, a courage and an expression of faith that's going forth all over the globe. This is happening all over, and it's happening right now. You are living under it. You and I are recipients of this courage that God is pouring out into our hearts. The name Jesus is no longer going to be a name that's going to be hard to come off of our lips. It's the most powerful name that we can ever use, the name of Jesus. The second thing that's happening is the courage. And the second thing, there are people coming to faith all over the world. There's an incredible story that came out of Africa of a Muslim man coming to faith. And it's absolutely, I wept when I heard it. It was so beautiful. So God is intentionally giving his people courage, and he's advanced. Well, that's what I wanted to say. This is it. The second thing is the advancement of the gospel. So Paul said, my imprisonment is actually advancing the gospel. So you might think you're at home and all you did was maybe pray a little bit and you fasted a little bit, or you did all that. Well, I tell you, the gospel is advancing and you had a part in it. The gospel is advancing and you had a part in it. And we are going to emerge out of this thing with Jesus on our lips, and the advancement of the gospel is part of our experience, okay? So here we go. Two marks of Christian maturity. The first is a propensity to say yes to the Lord. Now, I want you to do a little practice with me. I was out on the trails, and I did this out loud. I was all by myself. I want you to smile and say no. Okay, do it. Smile and say no. Enunciate the word no with a smile. No. Just no. Okay. Be very emphatic. No. Now I want you to say yes with a smile. Yes. Yes. Doesn't it kind of come out just a little bit easier? And these things need a little bit of exercise, to get it right. But this is what's happening. I'm going to conclude with this. There is a yes rising in the people of God. A yes, and it's going to be a costly yes. Let me just put it that way. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost me something. I said to the Lord during this time that I would be willing, if the chaplain said there are not enough chaplains in the hospital to be with the dying, that I would be willing to be with them. That's what I said. But I believe God wanted to hear a yes from me. But I also believe that there's coming a time where he is going to require something that's going to be very costly. And that yes is going to cost me something. It's going to cost you something. Now, the way to do this, you remember the 10-second rule? This is it. I'm at the end. The 10-second rule says this. It says, it's simple steps of obedience, very simple steps of obedience. As God helps us, we do the next thing that we're reasonably certain that Jesus is asking us to do. We do the very next thing that we're reasonably certain that he's asking us to do, and we do it quickly before we change our minds. We do it quickly before we change our minds. These little acts of obedience will produce in us a yes that will grow and grow and grow until when God asks something of us, a costly something, we will say yes to him. We will say yes, because this is what the scripture says. It says, David prayed in Psalm 51, restore to me the salvation, the joy of my salvation, and grant me a willing spirit. David asked for a willing spirit. And then in Psalm 110, he says, your people, and this is one of the most quoted chapters in the New Testament, this Psalm 110, it's a messianic psalm. And he says, your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power. Another translation says, your people shall be willing on the day of battle. They will be willing on the day of battle. So practice your yeses to the Lord, because the day is coming where he's going to ask us some things where we don't want to be saying no. We want to be saying yes. And it's going to be a great adventure. We're already on a great adventure. So Jesus on our lips, courage in our hearts, a yes to him, and gratitude flowing out of our lives. Father, I thank you for these beautiful people, Lord. I thank you for the fragrance that's on their lives. And as Paul said at the beginning of this passage, as we have said yes, as we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, now we walk in him. We've received him. We've said yes. And I lead these people as in my own heart first in saying yes to you. Lord, we say yes to you, yes to Jesus, yes to courage filling our hearts, yes to being bold in our witness, yes to being followers of you, walking in this life as followers of Jesus. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, seal this, Lord, I pray, in my heart. Seal it in all of our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.